Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth.
And sell it on the internet really fast.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt. We are Jack and Jill, and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Hi.
Welcome to our show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about the material limits of writing offers on back tax property only. Great show today, Jill.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on successplant.com, our free online community.
Okay. I'm going to preface this one's a little bit lengthy, so I'll try to condense it as I go through.
Hey, lengthy is good.
You're right.
Lengthy is detailed.
Yep. Okay. So Tim asked, I have a question about scrubbing the data in Data Doorstep. Jack addressed this to some degree in your program, and I saw another member also addressing it here in the forums. But I want to ask the question to a slightly greater depth or possibly a slightly different focus. This is good, Tim. When I download the county data, I scrub it exactly as Jack describes in the educational video. I eliminate no addresses, foreign addresses, duplicate entries, etc. Ultimately, I'm left with many entries with no entry in the column that's like owner first name. I've seen every possible combination of letters and numbers as owners for these entries. Sometimes churches, ranches, pipeline companies, living trusts, and every other combination I can think of. I eliminate the ones that seem obvious, like large corporations, railroads, public utilities, and so forth. But I leave on the churches and the ranches and the developers and some of the others. I'm using this as a rule of thumb. If it seems reasonable that my mailer might actually get in front of a real human being, I might have a chance. I love that. For instance, there may be a church out there that has bought land with the intention of a building but now needs to sell the land. What do other Success Plant members do when you're scrubbing your data? Is the ideal scenario that the land is owned by a husband and wife as individuals with the actual owner first name to plug in? Or do you have varying shades of gray on this? Love to know what you guys think about this, Tim.
Man, this is an outstanding question, mm-hmm. and I feel incredibly qualified to answer it. So, Tim, whatever you're doing, I can tell you right now, the way that you're approaching this and looking at it, and just by this question, you're going to do incredibly well. You probably already have it, whatever else you chose to do for a living, but I'll tell you, my mm-hmm. hat's off.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me proud, actually, to even hear a question like this.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of questions in and out and through this whole question, but multiple questions. But I'll tell you what I think you're really asking is, you know, how much is too far? How much data do I scrub out? How much do I leave in? What do you guys do? And the answer is, part of this is art and part of this is science. And you clearly have the science part down. But I can tell you, I have made mistakes in mailers in the past, sent offers out to corporations and railroads and churches and ranchers and developers and purchased property from every single one of them. So am I saying leave those all in? Absolutely not. One of your questions entwined in this was, do I want Mr. and Mrs. Smith as a buyer only? You know, that's the ideal situation. I think your strike percentages or your yield percentages are going to be best there. But you know, you just really never know. When you stick that line in the water, there's a lot of fish in the lake, and you're going to stick the line in the water, and you want to, you know, a very large percentage of the time, it's going to work. So there's no XYZ way to scrub data, and that's what makes it beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
There's some stuff that I completely steer away from. I steer away from industrial property always. That's just personally what I do. We have members who specialize in that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you the way that you're doing it is exactly the right way. And you might just want to send out a church owned property scenario one time all on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Which Jill and I buy properties from nonprofits like that all the time,
mm-hmm.
and ranchers and everything else. So you're right on the right path. I think I mean, did I answer the question, Joel? Mm-hmm. I'm not avoiding it in any way. There's not a linear way to do it. Everybody does it differently.
No, and that was his whole point. I think, and I thought it'd be fun to put in here because so he could hear and everybody could hear our thoughts on this in this way, because it really is just a, what do you guys do kind of thing. I'm just, you know, thinking out loud. It's like a Tim thinking out loud and kind of wondering what everybody else's little take is on this. And I love it. And it's interesting because, yeah, one rule of thumb is take them all out. Let's make it really easy. And another rule of thumb is leave them all in. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
So, because that's true. I mean, have we bought property from churches? Heck yeah. You know, and all kinds of interesting entities and places that get donated land when people pass on, you'd be surprised, and they don't want it. And, you know, so it's really interesting.
I've sent mailers out on accident to properties that should never have gotten the offers that they got and purchased mm-hmm. property for, you know, probably 5% of what it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, some of our members do that on purpose. So
those are my favorite deals.
I've never heard of anyone get stumped. Have you, Jill?
No, my favorite deals is when you pick up something you were not going for at all, wrong person, didn't even know they had this,
yeah.
and it's something fantastic
yeah.
that they forgot they had. You know, it's like finding something in the back of the closet, and they're like, you want it? I don't want this. You know, you're like, heck yeah, I'll take it. You know, that's how it feels.
I'll leave it on this. It's really hard to do this wrong.
Yeah.
You have the science part of this down. So the art part's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after your fourth or fifth or 12th mailer, you're going to say, you know what? These mom and pop deals, they're way easier. Maybe I'm just going to send it to mom and pop.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to say, I bought 42 pieces of property from this church that I left in the scrub on accident. Maybe I should send out church data.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really what goes on.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth of it.
Yep.
Today's show, or today's topic, the material limits of writing offers on back tax property. Oh my God, this ties perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Into the question we just answered for Tim. What you don't want to do is just send offers to properties that have back taxes on them. Boy, if you've listened to you're a regular listener on the show and you hear us talk about this topic and you're saying to yourself, man, why do these guys keep harping on this topic?
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. Because Jill talks to people all the time. Land Academy members and members that come from other places, and they ask this question. Joe, what's the question?
Should I only do back tax? You know, they have a thing, they have it in their head that those are really the only motivated people.
Yeah.
And I have to let them know that, no. So here's my answer is I don't isolate back tax people, and I don't take them out. I include back tax people.
Yes.
Oh, with yeah. everything I do. So
here's the thing about the title of the show is the material limits of writing offers on back tax property only. And here's the material limit. In every county, back tax property is somewhere between 0.01% and in crazy cases, maybe 5% of the actual property in the whole county. So if you're going to limit to sending mailers or sending offers to back tax property, owners of back tax property, now you're mailing out property to, best case, 5% of the people who own property in that county. Wouldn't you rather just send it to everyone who qualifies from a percentage standpoint and how we scrub data? I mean, that's why our percentages are so much better than I think our competitors are.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another thing that doesn't get talked about enough. Properties with back taxes on them, that's usually there for a reason. They're tough deals to get closed, a lot of them. We get letter after letter after email from people who say, you know what? I used to just send back tax properties, and then I heard about you guys, went through the whole thing, and now I'm killing it. And here's the math. One person really recently did a whole analysis of the responses and the properties that were purchased, sending it to everybody. And I don't mean everybody. You know, you don't send a $500 offer to on a property that's in the middle of Manhattan. Okay, I go into great detail in our program to avoid that. You're just wasting the money on a stamp there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you follow the way that we do it, your percentages are going to be pretty high,
mm-hmm.
way higher than the just back tax property. And then once you go to close a deal, you're going to find out the person you're talking to on back tax property is maybe they don't even own it. There's all kinds of issues.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this the meat of the show here is, please consider sending people mail offers on properties of all type, not just land. Set up a scenario or an acquisition criteria and get offers in front of those people and forget about the back taxes. Do you exclude them? No, absolutely not. Include them.
I mean, that's my whole thing. I can't tell you how many people have tested this. I was trying to just find it right now and I can't find it. I was going to share this one because about this individual who actually did his own little test on this. I don't know if you remember this.
Yeah.
Jack, it was like, I don't know, 6 months ago. And the numbers he came up with doing that test versus including everyone was, it was amazing. He's like, oh my gosh, you know, the rate of return and, oh, you just covered that? I apologize. Yeah. The exact test?
It doesn't, you can tell me. Multiple people multiple people throughout the last, I don't know, year and a half have really come to us and said, and one person that Jill's referring to and I did earlier really got technical about it, said, you know, on this date, I sent out these back tax mailers and this is what it yielded. And then on this date, from this date to this date, I did it with everybody, same county, same everything, same prices, and it yielded, you know, three times the acquisitions, and much less headaches getting the deals closed than just back tax property alone. So I've never had anybody come to me ever, really. Jill, stop me please let us know if they've come to you. Never had anybody come to me and say, you know, this back tax pact methodology is better.
Mm-hmm.
It works much better. You know, I'm not going to spend the 38 cents or whatever it costs to get an actual piece of mail in the offer in front of an owner. It's just not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard anyone say, you know, this is not, it's not the way it should go?
Mm-hmm. I agree. I completely agree. It's just, you never know. You're hitting people at the right time. It's hitting the right people. And just, I guess my thing is hit them all. Let's not mess around too. Why are we trying to limit our reach? We should be reaching as many people as possible too. So that's the thing.
Said.
If you're excluding everyone who's current on their taxes, well, good. Then I'm going to reach them and you won't. You know what I mean? There's just so many sellers out there. You never know why they're motivated. And, you know, my other things about it too is I might be behind on my taxes today and then I paid it tomorrow and I still want to sell, you know, whatever it is. Now they're not popping up on the list. There's just so many little details that if you're really in this and want to do it right, you're going to hit them all.
That's what I think. And I don't mean, I can't speak for Jill and myself, not all. Okay. Not the universe of people who own, but we teach a capping the assessed rate, assessed value so that you don't waste money sending low priced offers to super high value property either. Mm-hmm. You know, the short of it is our methodology works.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you can guess the technical two today. 2 minutes of property investment advice from our 15-year, 15,000 transaction experience. It couldn't be more simple. Don't limit yourself to just mailing offers to property owners who have associated back taxes. As simple as that. If you have a question or you want to be on the show, call 800-725-8816. Jill, inspire us.
Are you aligning yourself with the right people? And what made me think of this today was kid number 3 is in middle school, and we're actually having a kind of a reevaluation of his high school choices. And one of the things that's important to us for children is making sure they're in the right environment, getting the right education, having the right challenges, and being with the right people. So This has been our topic, this going on just the last several days. So I started to think about it for myself and Jack and all of you. Are you doing the same thing? I mean, we think about it for our kids. We should be thinking about it for ourselves. You know, are you hanging out with the right crowd? Let's put it that way. I mean, you want to be, you know, and even hanging out with, I'm trying to say this in a nice way. Maybe it's the crowd that you're like, I'm not sure I'm qualified to hang out in that crowd. You know, I don't know. But put yourself in that crowd. You should. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Jack? If you're asking yourself, if you're not wondering if you're qualified, you are.
You are.
Just by even having that thought.
Yeah.
You're, you know, yes, it's time to push yourself.
Exactly. You know, well, here's another example. Here's what happens to us sometimes. It happened by accident. We met some people a couple nights ago, and it resulted in a rockin' invite to the Strand party with these incredible musicians a couple days ago, Jack. And there we were looking around going, hey, who knew this was the right crowd? You know what I mean? Do you know what I'm talking about the other day?
Yeah. I have a very clear memory of what happened.
Yeah. It was
a blast.
It was. Well, it's funny because it was a little bit by accident slash however. It's because we were in the right place at the right time, hanging out with the right people and the right crowd for us. Yeah. And
having Jill on your arm helps everything,
thank
by the way.
Thank you. That was so much fun. So we met these people. It was fantastic. Next thing you know, the next day, Jack, you and that guy are texting. And then the next day we get this invite to this party. I'm like, okay, where are we going? What are we doing? And then we show up and I'm like, this is exactly where we should be right now and who we should be hanging out with, you know? And it's just perfect. So if you're hanging out with the wrong people, and I think in my past, it might've been people that maybe it was in my 9-to-5 job and all they're doing is
complaining.
Exactly. We're standing by the water fountain or the water cooler and the coffee pot, you know, complaining about the recent management decision, which, by the way, I was at my girlfriend's office a little bit the other night and I heard stuff like that. People talking about changes coming up and what are we going to do? And, you know, and just a lot of depressing stuff. So it's easy to get caught up in that. Don't get caught up on that. You know, get yourself out of that. Politely excuse yourself. Get in the right environment. And, you know, and that's one of the things I love about, and it's totally true. I watch it happening in our little world. I watch our members becoming friends, aligning themselves, doing deals. You know, you and I, Jack, have worked hard to create the right community, you know, and our people are doing it.
We have multiple members who started with no resources at all, but they're real good. They're just go-getters, and they're aligning themselves with, on the total other end of the spectrum, other members who have no interest in doing bird dogging like we do at all. They're just interested in financing the whole thing. So, and they're getting it together on their own. It's not like we have a forum to do that or anything. They just, they're in Success Plant talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening. Hey, Success Plant's free, by the way.
Yeah, that's a good thing. So that's it. Just make sure you're aligning yourself with the right people, you know?
Yeah.
Just like when you're a kid, hang out with the right crowd.
I mean, it takes like thinking about school systems for your 12-year-old.
Isn't that funny?
To apply. I mean, it's really, seriously, well said.
Thank you.
That's super inspirational, even for me.
Thank you.
I wonder if I'm hanging out with the right people.
You are. You hang out with me.
That's not what I mean.
Oh.
Inside the...
Wait, don't I count?
In the office here, we have the right people in the office for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Hey, join us in another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information that's me.
And inspiration that's me.
To get just about anything you want.
We use it every day to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
As always, you are never alone in your real estate ambition. Good show, Jill.
Thank you.
Great inspiration.
Thank you.
Tying it all together.
Thank you.
You know how many deals have happened on the back of a cocktail napkin where people are just standing there saying, you know, I got this apartment building. I don't know what to do. Yeah, I want to buy apartment buildings or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I bet a lot.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I've never done a land deal that way because I close my ears. I always say, nah, I have enough. I have 450 deals in the pipeline.
Well, you know why? Because when we're out, here's what happens for you and I. When we're out in that environment, we're not the first ones to hear about it. So we don't care. Right,
because
we don't
get
want
there
it.
First.
Right, because they're saying,
which
is really true. I get deals to me passed on by friends of friends. Hey, my buddy's trying to unload a piece of property. Can you help him? That would be no, because you already know about it.
Yeah.
That means he's got a realtor working on it. So no, that's fine. I'm sure he'll be okay. That's not my kind of a deal.
Once a week that happens, either on the phone or in person, where somebody says, you know, you really need to get to know my friend John. John does these land deals over here. And I said, I stopped listening right there.
Exactly.
Because John doesn't do it right.
Yeah.
And I didn't even meet him.
Exactly. Yep, we're good. Too funny, thanks.
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cash Flow from Land Show.
We are the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price, just so we can flip it for way more.
And really fast. Thanks for listening.
Let's go buy some property.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
LandAcademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.